B-Pod Studios.
This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Two here, Gasper and Murray. No Joe Murray. Sorry, no Jim Murray. Joe Murray is here. Arcan sitting in for Jim, however. We got your phone call, 617-779-0985. We've been talking Patriots here. We'll keep you up to speed on any more cuts that happen, as it is cut down day. I believe right now the Patriots roster is at a robust 69. Nice. So that means they got 16 more cuts to make, and we'll let you know what they are. I don't think we're going to have any surprises here. I'd imagine maybe the biggest name you'll see get cut after this. Probably the biggest name potentially to get cut is probably Dietrich Wise, right?
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah. I mean, is there any like Derek Rivers and guys like that?
Late in that preseason game, which sometimes is not a good sign.
Right. So outside of him, I mean, I'm not expecting any fireworks here. I'm not expecting, you know, like Dante Hightower to get released or anything crazy like that. But the tight end position has already seen some thinning down of the herd there as Anderson, Saubert. Thank you. Are now gone, and I think they're just left with Watson, Izzo, Lacoste, and Kendricks got released too, didn't he? Or no, Kendricks got suspended.
He has a one-game suspension.
That's right, but he's still technically...
I thought it was interesting that Izzo didn't play in this game. I thought that was a good sign for him, mm-hmm. and he was really good, I thought, against Carolina. Back-to-back plays. He has a really good block, a really good sort of kick-out block on third and two to help Sony Michel pick up a first down, and then he caught that rocket pass from Brady down the seam. I think he's on the roster.
Yeah, and one other quick thing. Tommy Curran tweeted about 20 minutes ago when the news about Gunnar Olszewski getting waived came out. Curran says, Gunnar gone means that the Patriots are likely heading towards having Julian Edelman handle punt returns this season. That could change, but for now, Edelman's the only one on the roster who would fit that. That's not great news, I don't think, for your number one wide receiver, 33-year-old guy who's really the linchpin of the entire offense to be handling punts again. I know he's done it before. I just don't want to see what this team looks like without him in the system. Like, that's just a scary notion to me, and it should be for you too. Speaking of scary notions, Rob Gronkowski and Andrew Luck this week both spoke to reporters. I know Gronk retired a while ago, but the first ever real words we got from him about it came this week at that CBD press conference. Also, Andrew Luck retiring as well. These are two of the biggest, most recognizable names in the sport, and they both stood up in front of cameras and reporters and America and God and everybody else and basically said that this game is ruining their life, and that's why they had to stop playing it. Gronkowski in particular, you know, I was taking the joy out of my life. It was bringing me down. I didn't like it. Andrew Luck has, you know, basically said the same thing, maybe in, you know, different words or whatever with that Stanford education of his, but they pretty much had the same outlook, the same viewpoint, yeah. the same overall message as to why they weren't playing anymore.
Quality of life issue.
They're not the first high-profile guys to retire early. Even in the last 5 years, you've seen Patrick Willis and Calvin Johnson. You go back a little ways, Barry Sanders and Jim Brown and some other guys like that. But we're at a point now where there's so much information out now about these older players and how tough their life is and CTE and all this other stuff. And I just sort of wonder, like, to see both of those guys say the same message in the same week right before the season starts, that struck me as a pretty bad week for the NFL. I don't know if you feel the same way, but I watched that and I thought, this is not a good thing for this sport. You know?
No, I think that's perceptive, Arcan. It is. I mean, you look at these are two superstar guys who within a 6 month time period, right? Because Gronk retired in March, it's August for Luck, decided to retire before the age of 30, both citing quality of life
right.
as the reason why they're stepping away from the game. That's not good from the NFL or for the NFL, I should say. And then also there was this Harvard study that was in the Globe the other day saying that NFL players were six times more likely than members of the general public to report cognitive issues, you know, like memory loss and stuff like that. So, I mean, when you look at it, I mean, that's not great for the league. And what's different about this, too, is that we're really looking at, I think, really the first generation of players that's informed enough to make up their own minds on whether they want to take the risk of playing football or not. Like, what do fans say? What, you know, people like Felger, what do they say when it comes to having no sympathy for these guys who just abuse their bodies to entertain us with NFL football? They know what they signed up for.
Right.
Right. So now these guys actually know what they're signing up for, and some of them are deciding they don't want to sign up for it anymore. And I have no problem with that. The bigger issue for me is, again, people like Felger who will criticize an Andrew Luck and say he's soft, he's not mentally tough, for coming to the conclusion based on the information that he doesn't want to say, I know what I signed up for. He's saying, I know what I would have to sign up for, and it's not worth it to me, which is, that's the prerogative of those players. And it doesn't make them lesser as players, lesser as human beings, lesser as men to make that type of decision. So that's my biggest issue, is people like the Doug Gottliebs and to a lesser degree Felger who criticize these guys for stepping away for obvious issues that have to do with their long-term health.
Yeah, and it happened more with Luck than Gronkowski, I think. Luck took a lot more of that than Gronk did because Gronk's had injury problems and he plays a tough position and sort of all these other things. But I have a hard time saying that Andrew Luck is anything other than tough when the guy came back from a lacerated kidney. Like, was he soft then? He had a lacerated kidney. He came back and played the next year.
He was
got
urinating
hurt again,
blood.
Came back again after that and then just kept for four straight seasons this happened, not counting the one that he had to miss, but he came back after that year too. And what, was he soft then? He came back and played after he had was peeing blood, you're right, from a lacerated kidney. How is that guy soft? That just doesn't make sense to me. Maybe, you know, maybe you can sort of say, well, the real guy would have kept going and kept rehabbing and done it forever and ever. Maybe that's true, but that doesn't make him soft. That makes him tired of rehabbing. A guy who comes back from a lacerated kidney just can't be soft. That's impossible. I don't think that's possible. You come back from that injury, you're automatically tough. That's how I look at it.
Well, and the other thing is, like, the injury that he's been dealing with is sort of calf, posterior ankle issue.
There's like some bone growing in his foot, right?
That, like, correct.
Yeah, something weird
like
that.
And it's not getting any better. So it's not like he didn't put in the time. You know, it's posterior ankle impingement. It's not like he didn't put in the time to try and get back on the field. He has, and it hasn't gotten him anywhere. Like, you know, he suffered this injury originally in the spring, and he barely played in any of training camp, hadn't played in any preseason games, and they keep trying to have him play, and he's making like zero progress, and it's affecting him not only physically but mentally. So I have zero problems with Andrew Luck stepping away, and I thought it was disgraceful that he was booed by those Colts fans. I understand their disappointment. I get it. It's disappointing. It changes their whole season. You think your team's one thing, it's another. It's okay to be disappointed and angry, but don't take it out on that guy in that way in that moment.
Yeah. That was really not a good look there for Indianapolis Colts fans. Not that they ever look really that good, but that was pretty bad. And I think in particular, you know, you look at a guy like Luck and even a guy like Gronkowski and some of the Calvin Johnsons and your Patrick Willises of the world. Usually when these guys retire early, they're big name guys. They're guys who have earned a lot of guaranteed money. There's some exceptions like Borland and Paul Warlow just retired a couple of weeks ago. You know, guys who didn't make a ton of money and have all these endorsements and things like that. But isn't that sort of the point? Like, these guys who have enough money and who come from pretty good backgrounds there, you know, Andrew Luck's father was an NFL player, and Gronkowski's were doing
they
just
make money
fine over
yeah,
there in
absolutely.
Buffalo. You know?
Gronkowski's a businessman. He does well for himself.
They had pretty, you know, pretty healthy childhoods. It's not like they grew up in squalor or anything like that, and that obviously makes a big difference with some of these players. They have to play to get out of the situation that they're in. Those guys didn't have to, and they also made a ton of money, like really franchised their names, sold billions of jerseys, fatheads, all that stuff. Gronkowski and Luck were probably two of the most recognizable names, maybe two of the biggest stars in the modern NFL, I would say.
I would agree,
they're right up there, and they both sort of left on those terms. But there's 1,698 other guys who probably looked at those two and thought, you know, I feel the same way they do, but I can't leave. I can't stop doing this. I have to keep playing. Otherwise, what else can I do? I can't retire right now. I can't retire at 25 or 29 or whatever it is. That was another thing I like what Doug Gottlieb said. You know, that's the most millennial thing ever, to retire at 29. What 29-year-old retires? I've never heard of that before. That is not a millennial thing at all.
Rob Gronkowski?
That's what I mean, though. But, like, they're saying, oh, what a millennial thing that is. Like, there's scores of millennials across the country retiring at 29 because they don't want to work anymore. That's not the way the world works. That's not how 2019 Woo! Is going for millennials. What are you guys cheering about? Florida State?
Florida State just scored a fourth and one Cam Akers to the house.
Oh, very nice. I'm over here defending millennials.
You should know this by now, Art.
So Joe and I are both invested in this game. He's monetarily invested. I'm emotionally invested.
Right.
What's the emotional investment for you?
Oh, this is my team.
His alma mater.
Yeah.
Oh, you went to Florida State?
No, it's not my alma mater.
You're a BU guy. Sorry about that.
But
you're
this
just
is,
a Florida
this
State
is like
guy.
My team since I was six. This is the last true bastion of, like, untouched sports fandom that I have is this team right here on this TV.
What was it? Charlie Ward? Like, what got you going?
It was the uniforms and the helmets. I was six, so I thought the helmets were really cool. And then it was Deion Sanders in his double bar face mask and his jersey tied up, you know, to his sternum. I was like, that is the coolest guy I've ever seen. And so I
must have hit you hard when they cut Braxton Berrios then.
Fell in love. Why?
Because he has the cutoffs too.
Oh no,
Berrios was a big
Miami
guy
though. Berrios,
he is a Miami guy.
Berrios went to the U. I'm good.
Out. He's out.
I'm good. I'm good on him being cut.
Might as well be his alma mater.
The Florida State fan in me is good on cutting guys from the U.
Should have that on your resume, Chris. You know, BU, but Florida State guy. You know.
Yeah. So anyways, we're both invested in this game. We've just completely train wrecked the show because of this touchdown.
That's fine. Don't let me interrupt again.
But
you were
doing great though. What were you
saying?
Millennials.
You know,
they
millennials.
I'm saying
millennials are fine. It's Doug Gottlieb who's wrong. Doug Gottlieb saying that millennials, oh, it's so millennial to retire at 29. Like there's millennials everywhere retiring at 29 in this country.
I know what I was going to say to you though. So it's interesting what you said about other players, because I had a chance to speak with Michael Thomas, who actually plays for the Giants. Mm-hmm. I went in the Giants locker room after that interminable preseason game, and he's close friends with Luck, dating back to their days playing high school football against each other in Houston. And what he said was, he said, you notice you don't hear any players criticizing Luck?
Right.
He's like, because we all know what we go through and what we do when we put our bodies on the line. He's like, it's hard for fans and media, you know, to understand. And he sort of threw me a bone. It was like, well, you know, reporters know because you guys are in here like all the time. I was like, oh, that's nice of you. But I mean, we really don't know.
You stupid report. You're cool, though. But like the rest of you idiots.
But that's what he said. He said, you notice you don't hear other NFL players criticizing Luck.
Right.
Because they know. They know what the toll is. They know that they get treated like disposable razors.
Yeah. And another thing about that is Luck probably was going to miss, if not all of this year, most of this year, right?
Yes.
Everyone's saying, oh, he let his team down. Did he really? Did he really let his teammates down if he wasn't going to be there all year anyway? He's basically just saying, I'm done. I'm not going to do it. You weren't going to see me this season anyway. It was going to be Jacoby Brissett this season anyway, but I just don't want to do this anymore. I don't feel like that's letting his team down all that much, really, at all.
It's amazing.
If he was expected to start week one, then okay, we can have this conversation. He wasn't, though. He probably wasn't going to start week 16.
It's just amazing
either.
To me that people feel like they have the right to begrudge another human being their quality of life. Like, these are quality of life. Like, if you listen to any of the stuff Gronk said, like, one of the things Gronk said is, you know, in terms of coming back to football, he's like, well, who wants to come back and be beat the F up? That's no way to live. It's no way to play football. I mean, Gronk was, like, on the verge of tears in that CBD TED Talk, as you called it. And I think Luck is sort of at the same point. He didn't cry, but you could tell he was just so, like, frustrated. He kept saying, I need to remove myself from this cycle. The only way to, like, fix this is to take football out.
Yeah.
So it's quality of life for these guys, but it's like somehow they owe us something. We have the right to begrudge another human being their quality of life. I mean, get out of here. That's absurd.
Yeah, I tend to agree with you. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls right after this.
Gasper and Murray. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub. We cruise through the 12 o'clock hour. Christian Arcan, Chris Gasper, Big Joe Murray here in the studio, taking you up until 2. And then it's Matt McCarthy, I believe, for a couple hours. Then we got college football right here on these airwaves. Am I wrong? I think we have I forget which game it is. Should probably look that up here before I started talking about it. But, yeah, football's finally back. Not pro football that counts, but college football has begun. We're watching it in studio here right now. It's nice to have football back in our life. I'm not a big college football guy, but I do enjoy just having it on in the background. I'm not going to lie. There's a calming influence to it, you know, just knowing that football's back and that some of these guys will be playing in the NFL someday. We're talking about Rob Gronkowski and some of the things that we took away from his big CBD press conference. First of all, the one part I think everybody mentions and everybody zeroes in on is him choking up and kind of getting emotional when talking about how football was basically destroying his life. That's what he was saying, basically. But the entirety of it, if you watch the thing from beginning to end, there's a lot of salesmanship going on there. I mean, there was a lot of I was in all this pain, and now I'm pain-free, and my doctors, and the CBD, and sort of all this stuff. And I don't know. I mean, I definitely believed him when he got choked up there and talked about how bad everything was, but...
Oh, you're not going to pull a Felger on me, are you?
I'm not pulling a Felger. Okay. I just think that the whole thing... I mean, it was a sales pitch, right? Like, that whole thing was a sales pitch.
Well, the sales pitch part of it for me, Arcan, is that he didn't shut down returning to play. I think it's been made very clear to him that people are going to lose some amount of interest in what he's doing if he doesn't hold that carrot out there that he could return to play. But when I go back and, like, remember now, he answered questions during that thing, too. If anything, I mean, I watched the whole thing. If anything, I'm the CBD medic people, and I'm like, dude, you didn't really talk about the product enough.
Right.
Like, what does it do for you? How often do you use it? You know, what products do you use?
He talked about it like it was a miracle elixir and like he was some traveling salesman back in the, you know.
He did, you're right, but
back
he didn't really
give cowboy
any,
days.
He didn't
That's
really
what
give
he
any
like.
Details. But
That's what
of,
I mean.
Most of the questions, though, were about him coming back to football, and those solicited, you know, the answers. Like, that what solicited the thing like, oh, I was in tears in my bed after the Super Bowl victory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like he was asked questions about going back to football. And that's where he gave you some of the stuff, like saying, I'm not going to go out there and be beat the F up and feel like crap. That's not the way to live. That's not the way to play football. Like, those weren't in response to questions about the CBD. Those answers were in response to questions about returning to football.
Right.
You know? And that's why I think that was, like, genuine. I mean, if anything, I feel like he didn't talk about the product enough. You're right in that when he did talk about it, he referenced it like it, you're right. Like, there was little, like, snake oil salesman to it.
Yeah.
And that it's like, oh, this is, you know, here, take Gronk's magic tonic. Like, it was sort of like that. But the questions he answered were about returning the football. And to me, those gave some of the most honest, raw, unvarnished answers. Where he was like, here's another one. I know the toll that the NFL brings. I could be 100% healthy and go back, and I know I'm putting my body in jeopardy. It's a brutal sport. That wasn't a question about CBD.
Right.
That's like, when are you coming back?
Are you coming back?
Yes.
And if he isn't, is any of this going to really matter? Like, when I heard he was taking the next step, like when the next chapter was to be revealed.
Yeah.
I was pretty sure that wasn't going to be an announcement saying I'm going back to football. Because number one, that's not a next chapter. And number two, you don't need a 45-minute press conference to announce I'm going to go back and play the sport I've been playing my whole life on this team that I was just playing for that I just retired from. Like, that doesn't seem like it would take up
point.
That much time.
I will say, though, now, if he does come back, though, I want him to do, like, a TED Talk on why he's coming back.
Yeah, same thing with, like, one of those little headpiece,
yeah,
you know, microphones.
Yeah, yeah, I want him to do the whole... I
wearing, like, a black
thing.
Turtleneck. Yeah. Big spotlight on him in the middle, glasses. Like, that would be awesome. That would be amazing. But, yeah, I mean, the whole thing, and I think sort of the underlying part of this, which wasn't really said out loud, but, you know, I might come back if I can get there. Mentally, I'm there. Physically, I'm not. Isn't that sort of implying that if I continue with this CBD treatment and continue to be pain-free, then I'll come back and play football? Like, isn't that sort of tying into the advertisement in a way?
Yeah, I hear what you're saying. I think it's just kind of hard to read how much of that is, you're not wrong. What you're saying is legit. But here's where I question it. How much of that is legitimate where he's like, hey, if the NFL allows CBD and stuff's going on, I'll come back. And how much of that is him knowing that in order to pitch this product, he sort of has to be like, hey, CBD is what's going to allow me to come back to the NFL.
All right. We have some more breaking news here.
Do we?
Yes, we do.
This is breaking sports news.
Powered by Valvoline Instant Oil Change.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Patriots on cutdown day. We just heard they cut Gunner. They have now cut a Greg Bedard, Felger and Maz favorite, Dan Skipper. Out! Practice squad candidate. If he clears waivers, that's according to Doug Kide. Dan Skipper is out.
Man, we have a really low bar for breaking news. Like, I remember when our bar for breaking news was like fake Johnny Gaudreau trades. Now it's like Dan Skipper getting cut.
Dan Skipper, journeyman, I heard.
The thing with Skipper was, and Chris, you'll know, like, he was getting most of the reps early on.
Yeah.
They must just not have felt good about him.
Well, it's obvious, and we talked about this before.
He was getting left tackle, like, yeah. Right? Him and the,
yes.
Wasn't it him and before Wynn could come back?
Yes.
Wasn't he, like,
Tooney.
The main guy?
He
him
was.
And Tooney? Yeah.
He was. And so, again, I think that tells you the fact that they went out and got three other offensive linemen and then cut this guy tells you how they felt about his performance and his ability to play at just a representative NFL level. That they didn't think he could do it.
Mm. He's a big guy, right? Wasn't he like 6'8" or something like that?
Like, he looks like the Mountain from Game of Thrones. He's a truly, truly intimidating individual.
Yeah. I'm going to miss having a big monster guy out there like Trent Brown last year.
He is definitely not the type of guy that I would evaluate his play to his face.
Makes sense. I don't think I would do that to really any of these guys. Except maybe Gostkowski. Until Gus Kowski sucked to his face. And I'd still probably get my ass
kicked. Hey, that's my guy. Easy,
but I would. I'm not saying I think he sucks. I'm saying if I wanted to do that, he's the one guy I'd probably
tell you. I mean, you know, he
and I know he'd kick my ass.
Yeah, I mean, he's in pretty good shape. He's a former pitcher. I mean, he's not just, I know, one of, you know what his pet peeve is that people that sort of just look at him and think, oh, he's just a kicker. Like, he was a legit athlete, and he is a legit athlete, so.
Oh, yeah. He's in pretty good shape. Jake Bailey's a pretty big kid, right?
Yeah, he actually is.
Big old punter out there.
I mean, he's not quite Todd Sauerbrunn level, but he's pretty jacked for a punter.
Yeah, okay. Well, bad news for Dan Skipper. He is out, and we will keep you up to speed.
So what's the count? 68 now?
I think we're down to 68, yes, unfortunately. Not quite as exciting.
Thank God I was not a beat writer in the days when the cuts were like this, when you had to like follow it cut by cut, and it all leaked out. You know, just piecemeal, because this would have driven me insane.
Yeah.
I think this is a gigantic waste of time.
I mean,
like,
it really
a lot
is.
Of these guys being cut, we knew were going to be cut, and it's like trying to chase down the fact that Dan Skipper got cut. I mean, dude, kudos to Doug Kide, who's a fantastic reporter, for getting this news. I just, in my day when I was, there's no way. I would have, much like Gronk and Andrew Luck, I would have said, this has taken the joy from my life, having to figure out these cuts player by player. And now I would have retired.
Now I've moved on to CBD oil, and I'm going to be doing that here as I turn the page to the next chapter in the life of
Chris
Kasper.
Godspeed to these
there.
Patriots reporters who have to do this cut by cut.
Yeah, that's a tough one, especially on this team where it's not going to be anyone exciting now. Like, we've pretty much, like, Gunner was probably the biggest name, and Skipper was probably the second biggest name of guys who are going to be cut. And I know probably something crazy is going to happen, and I'm going to look like an idiot, and you can play that sound back over and over again when they cut, I don't know, like Lawrence Guy or something stupid like that, which they're not going to do, but you know what I mean.
I'd be interested to find out on the other side here is there's always a guy. Well, and there's a couple of guys here that are in the final year of their contract, and there's obviously some money out there. Is there anybody that maybe they're looking at salary cap wise and for next year?
But I think they try and trade those guys. That's why you're getting these cuts piecemeal, because the Patriots want to see who's available around the rest of the league, not just on the waiver wire, but for trade. And they also want to see, is there anybody that, you know, maybe we want to sign? We want to sign that we can't, or that we can move on from, that has value. And so that's why the cuts that are being made now that are leaking out are the easy and obvious ones.
Right. I
mean, from here on out, you sort of get down to, okay, how are we going to maneuver and manage this roster at this point to maximize not only our roster, but like our return on some of these guys we might want to move on from.
Yeah. Dan Skipper probably saw the writing on the wall when they traded for like six different offensive linemen this week. I think that would probably tell him he's not in the mix here, but he is officially gone. He got waived, and that is where we stand right now. Before we go to break here, I'm just looking at the depth chart.
Yeah.
Is there any way they keep all these running backs? Is there any way they keep Sony Michel, they're White, keeping Devlin, Burkhead, Harris, Bolden, and, oh, I don't know if they're going to keep, probably not
they're
Nick
not
Brissett.
They're not going to keep Brissett.
Or the other fullback there, Jakob. But, I mean, are they going to keep
Jakob Johnson has a special exemption where he could be an additional player on the practice squad.
Oh, right.
Okay, as an international player. I mean, I think they keep all the running backs, unless, again, maybe there's somebody who really needs a running back. I know Houston's been sniffing around running backs. I don't think they trade a guy to the Jets who also want a running back. But maybe somebody's willing to give you something. You know, if you could get, say, a fourth-round pick for Rex Burkhead.
Yeah.
And you've given up a fourth-round pick. Oh, we have another guy that was just cut now.
Just right now?
Just right now.
Hold on.
I got it. I'll do it in the headlines.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, how about that? Let's let Joe Murray do his job. How about instead of spoiling all of his headlines?
Yes, I agree.
617-779-0985 is the phone number. New player's been cut. Joe Murray's going to tell you who right now.
This is Jasper and Murray. You will listen. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, Arcand and Gasper in. Joe Murray is out. John Hambone is in. What's up, Hambone? How you doing over there, buddy?
I'm good.
Good to see you.
Stressed out on roster cutdown day. Hoping I survive the cut.
Yeah, I think you will.
Yeah.
They got rid of Gunner, and he was the only guy really competing for your spot.
Dan Skipper. Gonna miss that big fella.
This is the man. This is the voice you're gonna hear for the rest of the hour 20 minutes or so that we're still on. If any other guys get cut or released, then Hambone will tell you all about it. In the meantime, Gasper and I taking a look here at this roster, and really at the there's a couple of things that news-wise that came out over the course of the week. We talked about the NFL and how Andrew Luck, Rob Gronkowski, and all that's not great for the NFL. I agree with that, but I also was looking at the Patriots' schedule and seeing some of this this news out of Miami. Ryan Fitzpatrick will be their starting quarterback week one. You realize now, in this week two game in Miami, the Patriots, number one, will have to play in Miami where they always lose. They always lose in Miami for some ungodly reason, even when the Dolphins really stink like I think they do this year. They'll be going against a former Belichick coordinator slash coach who has become a head coach somewhere else for some reason. Even when those guys really, really suck, they still kick Bill's ass the first time they play him. Have you ever noticed that? Except for Bill O'Brien, almost every single one of them, maybe Romeo Crennel too, they all beat Bill, and don't just beat him, they like beat the hell out of him. Patricia, McDaniels, like this is something that's been going on for a while. So you got Flores down there. And now you also have to throw in Ryan Fitzmagic, which is only really useful in the first week or 2 weeks of the season. That's the only time he's ever good. And you're getting him in week two with an ex-coordinator in Miami. Is there any possible way they win that game, Chris Gasper? Because I'm not seeing it.
Well, that's quite the setup there. Jeez. I mean, you know what's interesting about Ryan Fitzpatrick is that, and this speaks to, I know, you know, Patriots fans are sensitive about this. I'm not going to get into the Felger schedule talk, but I do just have to point out that Ryan Fitzpatrick, during this incredible reign of the Patriots, has now been the starting quarterback on the other three AFC East teams.
Wow.
And that sort of speaks to the quality of quarterbacks that have been in the division over the years.
Yeah, that's really bad.
I mean, and you're like stunned by this news. I
know. I hadn't really considered that. Yeah. But yeah, he's been
Buffalo,
their starting quarterback.
The Jets and Miami.
Yeah,
he will be the starter for. He will have been, you know, the starter for three of those teams, which speaks to how quarterback barren the division has been outside of
and
New England.
Coach barren too.
Yep.
Rex Ryan has coached two of those three teams.
That's a good point.
Adam Gase has coached two of those three
that's
teams.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, it is a horror show in the rest of that division, which is not to say that the Patriots, you know, are only good because they keep playing this division. They have the same record against teams outside the division, but they don't play them as often. So I feel like that matters. It doesn't mean everything, but it does matter. When you're playing a division that's as inept as the rest of the AFC East is, here's the test. Put the Dolphins, put the Bills, and put the Jets in any other division, and they're probably finishing at the bottom of it. That's what you could say for every one of these divisions over the years. There haven't, aside from like the AFC South, when they had a couple of barren years there in between, like Manning and Luck before he really kind of picked up and went there. Like there's been pretty, I don't know, pretty good. What's the word I'm looking for here? Parity, I guess. In the other divisions, you put the Dolphins there this year, the Jets, the Bills, as bad as those teams are with zero quarterback and zero coach for decades on end, they would have sucked in those divisions too. The Patriots would have been good in every division. No one's disputing that. But these other three teams would have sucked in all the divisions and that's important.
The one thing you have to remember, though, and I generally agree with you. I mean, look, Buffalo had, what was it, a 20-something year playoff drought? I mean, how long was that playoff drought? They went from 99 to, well, it was almost 20 years. They had this ridiculous playoff drought of almost 20 years, and they've just been an inept franchise. On the other hand, though, in fairness to these other teams, and you look at the Patriots, those other teams, their records are also bad because they have to play the Patriots twice
right.
a year.
Exactly.
You know, and so they've never really been up to the Patriot standard, except for, I will say, you're right about Miami. No matter who's been on Miami, it seems like they can sort of split with the Patriots because they'll win down in Miami. But really, you look at the other teams, except for that short time period with Rex Ryan and the 1 year of Mangini in 06 when Pennington was pretty good, they just haven't been close.
Yeah.
And then you're playing the Patriots twice a year. It's like, that's two more L's right there.
The Dolphins, since 2002, or since 2001, they've made the playoffs twice. Since 2001. Both times in the wild card, they lost.
One was Dave Wannstedt, right?
No.
No?
Wannstedt was 2001. I'm saying since then.
Oh, since then.
They've made it twice. Okay. One was Sperano. That was the Matt Cassel year.
That was 2008.
That was 2008. And then again,
that should have a giant asterisk attached to it.
It absolutely should. And then 2016, they went 10-6.
Oh, that's right, with Tannehill.
Right, and lost in the wild card game then, too. And they, they've been, the coach's a total joke. Saban had Saban there for two years.
The great what if of the AFC
Philbin, East. I mean, come on. Sperano, rest in peace, obviously. But, I mean, that's a revolving clown show right there.
But the great what if of the AFC East and the Patriots would be if Saban had stayed and he had chosen Drew Brees instead of Dante Culpepper. Mm. Now, to this day, Saban blames the doctors for not giving him the right information for basically, because remember, Brees was coming off like rotator cuff
right.
with the Chargers, and there was some question as to whether he'd ever be the same guy. They chose Culpepper. If he had selected Brees and stayed, I think that would have been really interesting, because I know how much Bill Belichick respects Nick Saban, and you go to 2006 and Saban and Dom Capers, who was the defensive coordinator, shut out Tom Brady, shut him out down in Miami. Was the, I think the final score of that game was 19-0.
Was that the the Wildcat game, was it?
No, the Wildcat,
that was much
the
later,
Wildcat
right?
game yeah, was 08. Yeah. That was 08 in at Gillette.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a Tony Sperano.
That was a Sperano
David
special,
Lee
right,
was like
yeah.
the quarterback's coach for the Dolphins, and he right. had been at Arkansas,
and Ronnie Brown just took him apart. I remember
that's where
that
he
game.
Came up with that idea. But dude, Saban is the ultimate example. Whenever I get in the argument, what's more important, coach or quarterback? Saban's my go-to for why it's quarterback, because that guy's as good as any coach not named Bill Belichick on the planet. But if you don't have the quarterback, like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
it just doesn't matter in the NFL. Like, how good was Pete Carroll before they got Russell Wilson?
Yeah, great point. You know, I mean, that was a guy sort of on a second tour in the NFL after going to college, and things weren't going great for him, and then Russell Wilson turned that all around, no question. The Bills, like you mentioned, they made the playoffs once since 2000, and the New York Jets obviously have been a little better. I mean, they've made the playoffs. Let's see. They haven't made it since 2010. They have not been a playoff team for the last, I don't know, 9-10 years now. But they did have a couple in there. They a couple of conference championships.
Yeah, they went to back-to-back AFC. You know, if they were the Colts, they'd have AFC finalist banners hanging at MetLife.
I'm surprised they don't, to be honest with you. That was in the early Rex. That was Ryan's first 2 years, right?
Yeah.
After Mangini.
Went to back-to-back AFC championship.
And it seemed like things were turning around for them, but not quite. And just, again, pointing out this division, these would have been bad teams in any division, okay?
Sure.
The Jets, the Bills, and the Dolphins, all three of them would have sucked in any division, and that's sort of the point here, more than, well, the Patriots are only good because they play those teams. But not necessarily, but those teams would be bad anywhere.
You know what's interesting, though, just listening to you talk about this? The Patriots haven't had like a true challenger in the division probably
right.
since the Jets in 2010, right?
Yeah. No, that's true.
It's been almost a decade since they've had. I mean, that's yikes. Like that's very uncommon in the NFL.
The Jets went 10-6 in 2015, but they missed the playoffs. That was Todd Bowles' first year.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't have considered them, like, at that point you didn't look at them and think they were real contenders or real challenger to the Patriots. You never thought that about the Bills. And I haven't thought that about the Dolphins in, I don't know how long. I mean, really, like, there hasn't been a time where I've looked at any team in the division that's a real rival for the Patriots.
You and I are on the same side of this. You know, I'm not going full Felger here and just trying to antagonize Patriots fans, but it is rare. You think about the fact, like, an actual challenger, like somebody who could really challenge them for the division, you haven't had that in almost 10 years, in almost a decade.
Yeah, and I'd say every other division would have that.
Yeah,
every other division would have provided that. Certainly the North, the South, maybe. I mean, they're probably right on the edge there. And definitely the West, you know, you have the Broncos there. They always have trouble with them, the Chiefs lately. That's no question about that. The other divisions are better. I know the Patriots have good records against them, but if they had to play them as much as they played these suckbag teams here in the AFC East, we might be singing a different tune. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Quick break. We'll be right back.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Arkan Gasper, now John Hambone in the house as well. You've got your headlines. Tucker Silva back there taking your phone calls. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. Latest release was Nick Thurman on the defensive line. We'll keep you up to speed on all the rest of the releases today. It is cut down day after all. We were talking earlier about who we'd tell to their face, who we'd critique their games to their face. I said Stephen Gostkowski. I probably wouldn't tell Stephen Gostkowski anything to his face, or any pro athlete for that matter, if I knew who they were. Like, there's some guys on the Patriots who I probably wouldn't recognize if I just saw them out. But, you know, you can get the idea that they're probably pro athletes. A guy like Gostkowski, if he's just sitting there in normal clothes, you wouldn't know, right?
No.
You walk out, you see him sitting there eating dinner or whatever, like, I could take that guy.
Well, no, I would not say I could take that guy.
Fighting him is an entirely different issue.
Of course not, no. But it did sort of get me thinking about this conversation that's been going on all week about Carly Lloyd. You know, people talk about...
I'd fight her.
Don't fight Carly Lloyd, Hambone.
I would take her down.
Carly Lloyd would whoop your ass.
Oh, you think so?
Yes, I do think
Carly
so.
Carly Lloyd, if you're listening.
Oh, God.
Carly Lloyd would smoke you. Are you kidding me?
Well, maybe I'd like that.
She would...
Oh, my
Probably
Lord.
Would. Anyways, the discussion was about Carly Lloyd. Could she be a kicker in the NFL? And there's some teams out there that are looking to, I don't know, give her a tryout. I don't know exactly which team. She was kicking with the Eagles when they saw that video of her kicking that 55-yarder in practice. Which, by the way, I'm not one of those people that says, oh, she kicked a 55-yarder in practice. Of course she can kick in the NFL. Like, she's the only one who can do that. I have no idea if Carly Lloyd can kick in the NFL. I really don't. I said on the air earlier this week, I do know that Scott Sisson kicked in the NFL, so if he could kick in the NFL, then Carly Lloyd can probably kick in the NFL, because Scott Sisson's nickname was Missing Scott Sisson. But that being said, there's been a lot of people very concerned about the health and well-being of Carly Lloyd. What if they do a special trick play where they lateral it to the kicker and she has to run 20 yards? Like, that happens a lot. Or what if the kick gets blocked and then she has to go chase down the guy on or whatever? And to that, I would say, first of all, I don't think they'd put her on kickoffs if she did ever make a
team. No, I think you'd have to have somebody else do the kickoffs.
Someone else would probably do the kickoffs. And even if she did, it's not like the kickers are out there getting their nose in the middle. Usually the kickers kick the ball and get the hell out of the way. That's what they do. And she's fast enough that I think she could probably do it. Pretty good shape. Carly Lloyd. There aren't a lot of trick plays that involve the kicker running with the ball. And, you know how many field goals got blocked last year?
No, how many?
Four.
Are you serious? That was it?
Four.
Well, that's the other thing, too,
and
right?
And a finger on the ball counts as a blocked field goal, too, by the way.
That's
you know?
A great point, Arkamp. And the other thing is they really changed the rules to try. Remember when Shay McClellan, you know, had the block extra point in the Super Bowl and you know, he leaped over. They called the penalty. It shouldn't have been a penalty. But now, even the way he did it would have been a penalty. Like, you can't do anything. Yeah. You can't jump over anybody. You can't jump on anybody. So it's like the odds of it being blocked to the degree that, you know, she'd have to sort of make a play on it are pretty low.
Yeah. I mean, that's sort of where I stand on all this, too. And again, I'm not saying she can do it. I have no idea if she can kick in the NFL. She probably can't, all right? It's not like it's easy. But she is a professional kicker. She kicks for a living. And she's able to nail one from 55 yards. So I sort of feel like if there's teams that are out there, publicity stunt or not, they want to give her a shot and say, hey, see if you can do it. She should be allowed to go and do it. And if she's good enough to beat out the other guy in the team, she should make the team. I don't see any real reason why not. And the people who are like, well, what if this happens? What if she has to go? You know, someone's going to turn her spine. Someone called in and said, if anyone ever blocked a kick, they'd turn her spine into tortellini. Which, ooh, first of all, that is not what tortellini looks like. And second of all, is that really something you're worried about? Let Carly Lloyd worry about that. Why are you worried about that? What do you care? Like, that's a weird thing for people to get upset about. Really, what it sounds like to me is there's people out there who just don't like the idea of a lady playing their game.
That's
right. Right? I mean, isn't that really what this is all about? And that's like, if that's how you feel, someone actually called in and full on admitted that. They're like, you know what? If she makes it, whatever, I still don't want her on the team because it's weird to have a woman play football. And while I was like, dude, you suck, I also thought, well, at least he's being honest. Most people can't even come to that conclusion because they're afraid to say it, even though that's how they really feel. You know, be honest with yourself and then change your own mind, because that is a crap point of view,
well, look,
I think.
Here's the thing with Carly Lloyd. She's already demonstrated she has the leg strength. And that field goal she kicked, that was like the practice field uprights that are
right.
Narrower,
yeah,
you know, to try and make it harder for the kickers and it's more accurate. And so from 55, she split the narrower uprights. So leg strength is not an issue. The question is, you know, she can't take five steps. Can she do it on two or three or whatever? And would she be able to do, would she be accurate enough is really the question, I think. I wouldn't mind. Look, give her a chance. Could she be any, if you're the Chicago Bears, like, you're desperate. Could you do any worse than Carly Lloyd, like bringing her in for a tryout? I mean, you've tried every other kicker on the planet,
yeah,
and it hasn't worked since you let Robbie Gould go. So why not? I mean,
Falcons just signed Matt Bryan, who's like 50.
Dude, football.
Vinatieri's still out there kicking. Like, it's not that hard. You
football,
know?
In most cases, not all, but most cases, tends to be a meritocracy. If she's good enough, she'll get the opportunity. If she's not, she won't. But I don't understand why anybody would begrudge her the opportunity. I mean, you know, let's see what she can do. And I think, again, you know, there are sort of ways. I understand the concern for her physical well-being, but I think there are ways that you can sort of mitigate that a little bit. I mean, let's be honest. Kickers aren't making a ton of tackles to begin with.
No, they really aren't. I actually looked this up. Stephen Gostkowski hasn't made a tackle in 5 years.
Wow.
Okay? Adam Vinatieri's played 353 career games. He's made 30-something tackles, which is once every, like, two seasons he'll make a tackle. And that's, like, a long time ago, and they were sort of bunched together.
One
and you'll never forget him chasing down Herschel
Walker. One of them was Herschel Walker.
That was super amazing, badass. And if Carly Lloyd ever did that, that would shut everybody right up. But I don't think that's happening. Herschel Walker's been long retired, first of all. Who's, like, the equivalent of, like, modern-day fat Herschel Walker in the NFL? Who's, like, a really slow running back who like was good a while ago and now he sucks? Like, there's every year I feel like there's always like a fat, slow Herschel Walker prototype that's still in the league.
That's a tough question, Archie.
Yeah, it's
I'm racking my brain.
I'm trying to think now who's like a really overrated
Adrian Peterson.
Peterson, is he? I don't know. Yeah, maybe Peterson's not like that slow though, and he's not fat either, but like
he's definitely not fat guy. But he's slowed down.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. I'll think more about this one. We'll do that in the final hour. 617-779-0985. That is your phone number. Carly Lloyd, sure, let her kick. What do I care? Although we did have one call. This is my favorite call on this entire topic.
Yes. Yeah.
Someone called in and was like, Carly Lloyd shouldn't be in the NFL because she's a choke artist. She missed all these penalty kicks. And he went on and listed every single screw-up she had in like 2011 that cost him the gold or something. It went on and on and on, but it was 100% directed at Carly Lloyd, the soccer player,
the athlete,
and her shortcomings there.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know what? That's how you do it. That's how you make a call, an anti-Carly Lloyd call. You talk about what she didn't do on the soccer field. Not that she's just a lady and you don't like a lady in the locker room. I was actually pretty proud of that. That's good trolling. That's good hating. That's the way to hate. If you're going to do it, at least have some substance.
Hate.
You know? Just if you're going to bring the hate, you got to bring a little bit more than I don't like a lady playing my sport. Okay? That's how I feel. 617-779-0985 is the phone number. We'll get to your phone calls right after the headlines from Hambone. He'll let you know who's getting cut from the Patriots.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.